My guest at this time is economist John Lott, who is also the co-author, along with Grover Norquist, of the new book, Debacle, Obama's War on Jobs and Growth and What We Can Do Now to Regain Our Future. And John, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me on.
Well, in this book, you and Grover Norquist do a lot of work to painstakingly point out what you see as the president's recklessness, I guess, for lack of a better word, with spending and just his general approach to dealing with a very fragile economy in the 3 years since he came into office. What do you see as the main argument against his stewardship of the economy at this point?
Well, not only has it left American families with about $100,000 in new debt per family, but the stimulus increased unemployment temporarily. So, it's kind of a lose-lose situation there all around. When you go and you move around $1 trillion-plus dollars for the stimulus and the various jobs programs, you're moving around resources from one company to another or one industry to another that's favored by the government. And the problem is that when you move those resources, from the purchases that you and I or some company would have made to where the government wants it spent, not only are you moving around those resources, but you move around the jobs that are associated with those resources. And the problem is ultimately that the jobs don't instantly, people don't instantly move from one job to another. It takes time. And that temporary unemployment that was created, you see very clearly when you compare the U.S. changes in unemployment rate to other countries, for example, how we would see this sudden increase in unemployment right after the stimulus was passed.
The administration's contention, of course, is that they inherited a huge mess, something I think most people would agree with to some extent. They also claim that it was a bit worse than they even expected heading into office, and that without their actions, whether it's the stimulus or some of these other programs, well, we would have headed to a second Great Depression. And while the economy isn't great right now, what they did certainly staved off something far worse. In addition to how you outlined what you see as a wrong-headed economic policy, how do you rebut their general contention that they did the best they could with what they had?
Well, there were problems beforehand. Nobody's arguing that there weren't. It's just that Obama's policies made it worse. We were just talking about how it increased unemployment. But you can see that the impact just by looking at other countries. So you look at U.S. and Canada's unemployment or GDP growth, what you find is that the increase in unemployment between the U.S. and Canada marched in lockstep during 2008 and the beginning of 2009. You can see the unemployment in both countries increasing very, very similarly right up until when the stimulus gets passed. When the stimulus gets passed, our unemployment rate keeps shooting up and stays high for a long time. I mean, we've had unemployment above 8% for 34 months now. But for Canada, its unemployment rate levels off and then begins to fall. And it's countries around the world, if you make that comparison, you see that gap occur between changes in our unemployment rates and others right after the stimulus got passed here. Countries that Obama lectured in the beginning of 2009 about how they had to go and follow our program of these massive spending sprees and deficits. Countries who didn't follow it, despite the haranguing of our president, ended up doing much better. Even though at the time Obama said that their economy would be disastrous if they didn't follow our path.
It's indisputable, of course, that our debt has expanded greatly in the past 3-plus years. You point out in the book that if the president gets what he wants in his budget over the next 10 years, that that's going to cost, I think, either every family or every person in America $126,000, which may lead somebody to believe that when you look at a Paul Ryan plan that would still add $4 trillion to our debt over the next 10 years, and that's considered draconian by most Democrats. Is this beyond hope?
The amazing thing is, if anybody looks at Obama's speeches during the 2008 presidential campaign, he was promising to cut federal spending. He was arguing that government was too big in 2008. And you just look at his statements, his promises during the presidential debates, during the second and third ones in particular. He promised a net cut in government spending. The government would be smaller at the end of an Obama administration than it was when he came in. So he was arguing in 2008 government spending was too large. Even when the stimulus got passed, he promised that that increase in spending was going to be temporary. And yet now we're told we can't even touch it, that it's a permanent part of our spending. We can't even trim it even a tiny bit. If you look at 2008, you go right up until Election Day, Obama was making these promises to make government smaller. And then within a week between the election and a week afterwards, Obama started changing his tune. He started talking about this big stimulus spending that he wanted to have. $500 billion was the amount floated a week after the election. By 2 weeks after the election, and the amount floated was up to $750 billion. And, and there's no new economic news that you have that came out in the week after the election that justifies that change. He was saying that he blamed the high government spending, the high deficits, during the fall of 2008 for the problems that we had, that the solution was to cut the deficit. And then within a week after the election, the solution was to solve the problems was to massively increase spending. No explanation was given at that time about what changed, even on his part, in that 1 week, because go from saying the solution was cutting spending to increasing spending. And now, as we're saying, they can't cut anything. And we've had this huge increase in spending, this 21% increase in spending in just the first 2 years of the administration. Federal debt, publicly held debt at the end of the Bush administration was $5.8 trillion. Right now, it's about $11 trillion. So we've almost doubled the publicly held debt that our nation had produced over its entire history in just the first 3 years of the Obama administration. And, but if we went back to 2007 spending, which would be about what Obama was promising to cut things down to, there'd be no deficit right now instead of having another trillion-plus deficit that we're facing.
We're talking with John Lott, co-author of Debacle, Obama's War on Jobs and Growth, and What We Can Do Now to Regain Our Future. In our last minute or two here, John, let's look at the second half of that subhead. We've chronicled, and you've certainly chronicled in great detail in the book, what this administration has done. What do you see as the key turning points, whether it's a President Mitt Romney down the road or a Republican Congress? What are the most important things they can do to regain our future, as you put it?
Well, one of the things I would try to do is keep the promises that Obama was making during the 2008 campaign. Cut back on the deficit. The way to do that is what he promised to do in 2008 was to cut government spending. If we could reduce government spending back to where it was in 2007 right now, there would be no deficit. So rather than piling up this huge additional massive amount of deficit per family that he's talking about, we would be able to solve that. The second thing we should try to do is to try to cut taxes. I mean, right now, we have by far the highest corporate income tax rates in the world. If somebody's thinking about investing in the United States versus, let's say, Canada, they get to keep about 15 cents of every dollar that they earn if they invest in Canada than if they invest in the United States. There are countries that they can invest in, like Ireland. If they invest there versus the United States, they get to keep about 28 cents more of every dollar that they earn. That's a massive difference. When you have hundreds of trillions of dollars in international capital markets looking around to find where they can get the highest rate of return, and we have the highest corporate income tax rates in the world, if we were to lower it to below the average, you'd have massive new investment flowing into the United States. That would increase productivity and wages for workers. It increased the demand for their services. And you'd see big growth in wages and you know, productivity for our economy if you did that. You know, we also have one of the highest highest individual income tax rates in the world. And, you know, one should talk about that, but the corporate income tax changes would pay for themselves easily. And so, I mean, those are just two small changes that you could make. You know, keep the promises that Obama made back in the 2008 campaign and make our country competitive with other countries. That could be done that would make a massive difference in things.
John, we'll have to leave it there. Good luck with the book. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm proud of the book. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Dr. John Lott is co-author of Debacle, Obama's War on Jobs and Growth and What We Can Do to Regain Our Future. Co-author is Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.